Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM, Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. What is the plan for economic development in Prince George's County? How can the county continue to attract businesses, big and small, amid the challenges and winds of political change? Well, tonight, we are taking a look at that issue. My guests are Alexander Austin, president of the Prince George's County Chamber of Commerce, and Bernard Wright, CEO of Wave Welcome, a technology and cyber support company based in Prince George's. If you have a comment, if you have a question, if you have an idea, give us a call. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can X me at H Fisher, W-H-U-R, or you can find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Bernard, Alexander, thank you so much for coming in. I appreciate the conversation.
Thank you for having us.
Let me ask you first, Alexander, how would you characterize the business climate in Prince George's County right now? And certainly, yes, we've had Chamber of Commerce weather all week. but the winds of change are coming for the weekend. But this isn't the weather report. What do you think?
If I would answer in one word, it'd be vibrant.
Why would you say that?
Prince George's County is rich in resources, well-positioned. We have a highly educated demographic. We check a lot of the economic drivers and boxes for investment and innovation. We have a number of organizations that provide support from workforce development to chambers of commerce, to economic development corporations, to municipalities that are also heavily focused CDFIs, which are focused on lending criteria. We have four major institutions that all support the vitality of a circular economy within Prince George's County. Mm-hmm. And not to mention leadership. We have excellent leaders who, in my experience in this role, have shown a willingness and openness to push the needle forward.
From the perspective of the chamber, what is your responsibility in continuing to grow as well as support business that are already there?
Absolutely. It's just that. It is being conduit between the various resources we have, making sure that we understand what our businesses need. We have different levels. So we have startups. We have companies that are, you know, just beyond that third year getting ready to transition and grow. We have mid-market companies, and then we have some of the larger Fortune 100, 500, and 1,000 companies. Not to mention we have government agencies and municipalities, which all have a business focus. So it is really bridging that gap between all of those resources and creating those lanes and channels and becoming a medium for information, for connectivity, for networking, for resources, but then also filling gaps in ways that maybe we haven't thought about.
How do you do that?
Partnership.
Right? I mean, let's get down to the nitty-gritty of it. Because if I, for example, have a thriving business, which is why we're going to talk to Bernard here in a minute, but if I have a thriving business in Prince George's County, why do I need a small business? Why do I need the chamber?
Yeah, that's a great question. Number one, what we try to shy away from is a cookie cutter approach, right? Because all methods and information may not apply. If you are a larger company, what you may need more of is advocacy. And in our relationship development, it is our goal to understand what those needs are, but also to evaluate those needs on a continuous basis and not necessarily just be a one and done. If you're a smaller business, advocacy may not necessarily be at the forefront. It may be, hey, I need more access to capital. I may need more resources. Or I may just need more sustainable information sources to help me stay in business. That's often something that I don't hear enough. I need access to capital. I need access to government grants. But I rarely ever hear, hey, how do I survive COVID? Mm-hmm. How do I prepare for the next wave of a shutdown? Being sustainable is just as important as having access.
Mm-hmm. Bernard, when I introduced you, I said you're a technology and cyber support company. And for those of us who count with a calculator and are not technology experts. What is it that you do exactly? What does your company do?
So certainly for some of our clients, they completely outsource their IT cybersecurity needs where we become their IT department. But really, we take pride in leveraging technology to solve real-world use cases. And when you talk about Prince George's County, if we're being honest, there are certain things that do need to be addressed. And one of the things that we do is figure out how we can be creative in applying technology to solve those problems.
Give me an example.
So one of the things we've done recently is we've developed a platform that leverages AI to analyze video streams in real time to detect firearms. So the goal is really to head off some of the active shooter events we've seen in schools. I was listening earlier where you talked about what happened with Duval High School last week.
Yeah.
So our goal is really to make sure that we're preventing as many of those as possible. But when we cannot prevent those, that we do cut down on the impact. So what we do is we actually have developed a platform that layers on top of surveillance cameras, and we're looking frame by frame to see if there's a match against a known firearm. And when we see a match against the firearm, we proactively notify public safety officials so that they're automatically sent to the scene, but they also know what they're dealing with. So the second part of the solution is when we know that there is an attack underway, we deploy drones so we can go in and see exactly what's going on at any point in time. And the use case that I give is Uvalde. You remember where the police officers hung back and they didn't want to go in because they didn't know what they were dealing with. So the solution we've developed, we can say, hey, we know that there is one person on the third floor and they have an AR-15. So they know exactly what they're dealing with and they have full-time situational awareness. So that's really what we're looking to do, and just an example of how technology can solve challenges that exist in the real world.
That's fascinating to me, and I'll tell you why. Because to the layperson, I would imagine to your average Prince George's County resident, when you think about business, you think about retail, you think about black-owned businesses, certainly, but businesses, contracting, for example, women-owned businesses, as well as food services. But the kind of work that you do, it is both, I'm impressed, first of all. That ain't easy. Let me just say, but I would also say that the complexity of the kind of work that you do, most people, right or wrong, may associate that with the technology corridors in Northern Virginia and in Montgomery County. So with that said, and you're from Prince George's County, why did you decide to establish your business here?
So I have a bit of an advantage. I formerly served as the chief information officer for Prince George's County for 6.5 years under Rashurn Baker. And in that capacity, I really saw what a lot of the opportunities were in Prince George's County. I formed a lot of relationships, so I was able to get going quickly. But one of the things I also saw was that we had the ability to have a major impact. So if you look at Northern Virginia, Montgomery County, there's a lot of competition.
Mm-hmm.
There's not as much competition in Prince George's County. So one of the things we were looking at doing is how quickly can we grow and scale? How quickly can we leverage the relationships we have to have a positive impact? So our company, Wave Welcome, we are subscribers to something called conscious capitalism. So just about every company that's responsible is focused on financial profits. So that's the financial capital piece where, hey, we want to make as much money as we can. One of the things we do that's different is we focus on three additional types of capital: social capital, which is the networks, human capital, which is people, and natural capital, which is the environment. And by focusing on those four types of capital, we're creating a competitive advantage. So in Prince George's County, because those challenges exist, we can have an outsized impact and almost use it as a pilot and take it and grow and scale across the country. So Prince George's County presents a great opportunity to really be able to grow quickly.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about economic development and business growth in Prince George's County. If you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call. Lines are open again at 202-319-7810. Byron, calling from Prince George's County. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Byron, are you there? Byron, give me a call back if you can. So what is the pitch, Alexander, for those who do not have the political advantage that a Bernard Wright may have, having, you know, known, you know, he walked through the halls of political power in Prince George's? And this is why I ask, because having lived all over the country, one of the things that I've learned is when people are moving to a certain area, the first thing they ask about, schools. What's the situation with schools? And if they are in business, they want to know what the business climate is. And we've got, as you know, this semester, this fall, Prince George's County is building 6 new schools.
Yes.
But at the same time, we've got the issue of school safety. The issue is being addressed, even as we speak right now, at the school board. And we have tremendous wealth in Prince George's County. But there's also the issue, and this is not specific to Prince George's, obviously, but we've got a crime problem. How do you sell that?
Well, I think those aspects are not uncommon to any jurisdictional region. What I have observed is that for some reason they are highlighted when we talk about Prince George's County. I am a product of Prince George's County Public Schools. I went K through 12, 1 year Prince George's Community College. My educational experience was phenomenal. My high school experience, my administrator, one man, knew 600 of us by first name. Now, when you're talking about how to address crime, I think that's going to be more of a unified approach from the business community, our elected officials, our residents, to figure out what that solution is that wins for all. But ultimately, one of the things that I always recommend for any business that wants to move into the county is, one, let's get connected. Because if we're not at the table and we're not having a unified voice, change doesn't get done. It's a lot, you know, and I have a lot of respect for our elected officials. You know, they are often, it's a lot on their backs that they have to carry. Some decisions they have to make that are popular, a lot of them are not. But at the end of the day, it's on whatever they decide or don't decide rests on them. So from the business community, one of the things that we want to do from the chamber's perspective is, let's start aligning our interest. Let's start presenting the data points and be proactive and not reactive. Because if you're not providing reasonable information, insight, so that our elected officials can make the informed decisions, you're 9 times out of 10 probably not going to be happy.
Real quick, because I got to take a break in a couple of minutes, but I wanted to make sure that I got this in. In addition to the business of business, you all have a gala coming up.
Yes,
it's coming up next month.
October 6th, to be exact.
Talk to me. Do you have your penguin suit?
I got it ready. I got it ready.
Several. That's right. Several of them. Just don't wear the one with 6 buttons. Yeah. But talk to me about the gala, Excellence in Business Awards.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So very excited. It's going to be October 6th at 6 p.m. at the Riverside Ballroom at the Gaylord National Hotel. And we have an exciting lineup. We're going to give awards to about 6 or 7 companies or individuals who've done some amazing things in the business community, strategic partners, visionary leaders. We just have some amazing things planned. My team has done an amazing job of just putting it organized together. The partners at the Gaylord have been phenomenal. And so this is our way to say thank you and recognize the exceptional work that our business owners and and partners have done in the county and in the region. Mm-hmm. So I hope to see a packed room.
I'm sure you will. If you want more information about the Excellence in Business Awards Gala 2023, you can find it online at pgcoc.org. That's the Chamber of Commerce's website, pgcoc.org. As always, we will be posting on our website the link to that so that you can pick up your tickets and figure out what you're going to wear because you only have a few weeks. Byron calling from PG County, as you have it up there, Prince George's. We are going to talk to you next. Please stay with us. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm. That's on WHUR. We continue this conversation on Sirius XM in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are continuing our conversation about business and economic development in Prince George's County. My guests are Alexander Austin, president of the Prince George's County Chamber of Commerce, and Bernard Wright, CEO of Wave Welcome, a technology and cyber support company based in Prince George's County. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Byron, thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Byron in Prince George's, you called back. What's on your mind? Are you there?
Yeah.
Okay, go right ahead. Turn your radio down, Byron, because you've got a seven-second delay, so you're going to miss out on some stuff. I can hear you. Go right ahead.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Go right ahead.
Okay, they talk about Sean Baker and all these committees and meetings and stuff. But in zip code 20746 from Addison Road to Camp Spring, we never got anything. Only thing we get is 24-hour tobacco stores.
Are you there? God, Byron.
Other than that,
okay, I think you dropped out. What's your comment again? You dropped out a little bit. I know you were talking about tobacco stores. Go right ahead.
Yeah, tobacco stores, laundromats, and American Chinese restaurants. That's the only thing we get in our zip code, 20746. All these big meetings they have, it doesn't do us anything. They don't do anything for our county, for our area, 20746. This is ridiculous. They keep talking, they ain't doing anything. You go in all these market stores, tobacco stores, they charge you tax on everything. They're beating the customers every day in our neighborhood. If you go to Bowie and all that, that's not going on. They don't have these problems like we had. They can have tons of committees. We still haven't received anything in 17 years. This is ridiculous.
So let me help you with that. And I think, you know, Alexander, he makes a good point. And you're not an elected official. Let's say that first.
Thank you.
And I don't need to defend you. But Byron makes a really, really good point. You grew up here, Bernard. You grew up in Prince George's. I grew up in Prince George's. As much change, positive economic development change that we all want to see, I think Byron's complaint is a legitimate one. Mm-hmm. Why can't we see better, more diverse, higher quality businesses? How do you deal with that?
Yeah, so I think, you know, to one, Byron, I commend you for just providing us some insight in terms of what's going on in your zip code and in your district. But I do have some information I think that would be helpful. We can't change the past, that's number one. But what it boils down to is really, again, it goes back to the narrative, and then how are we necessarily planting seeds for the future? Because companies are typically following the workforce, and the workforce is really developed by our school system and our colleges and community colleges. So the first thing that I think that we have to do is just really be honest about, okay, where are we now? And then where do we want to go? The positive, and I have this conversation all the time with all of our partners who see the same kind of landscape. We don't have to go far to create a blueprint. what we have to do is just really, we can look to our partners to the west, which is Northern Virginia counties. We can look to our partners to the north, Montgomery County, which is the number one county in America. Say, okay, well, what did they do? They doubled down.
What do you mean by that?
So Prince George's County has 13 in-demand industries. And you mentioned something earlier. You said, you know, when you think about Prince George's County, you're really thinking about hospitality and retail, which mm-hmm. are, you know, I would say bread and butter for us. But there's a lot of unique businesses in Prince George's County. 25,000 registered. Some say more, some say less. I say around 25,000 registered businesses that have some presence in Prince George's County, from restaurant retail to information, cyber, and computing to transportation. We have a transportation hub. The list, we have warehousing. So it's getting more exposure, but also connecting those dots where you have a talent pool that is connected to those industries. And then also, when we're focused on industries, for our partners at Economic Development has identified 3 or 4 industries that we can focus on that are centered around the 4 major colleges we have that have an interest in producing talent in cybersecurity, mm-hmm. which is very unique for this region. Mm-hmm. So that alone can help us to then have a better proposition. And like I said, the blueprint is there. We have all of the resources to really move the needle as far as we want to move it. You know, 550 square miles, 1 million residents, 4 major institutions. We produce 8,000 kids a year, insulate 14 government agencies. We have New Carrollton Station, close to 2 major airports. It's here.
Yeah. Yeah. Byron, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts. I appreciate it. Very, very relevant question. So, Vinard, when you talk to your peers in business, particularly in the technology quarter, not in the higher profile retail and hospitality peers, what do you tell them, the ones that aren't here, what do you tell them about where you are? How would you sell, you know, Prince George's County? Or do you want that competition? Do you want other cybersecurity companies here? Or do you need to send an attack drone over there and wipe them out so that they don't come here and compete with you?
No,
you
know? I absolutely do want the competition. So I am a naturally competitive person. And, you know, I'm of the belief that steel sharpens steel. So one of the things that I'm doing is making sure that business is helping to lead the conversation. So even going back to Byron's comment about certain areas of the county, we are taking a look at where those areas of the county are and where those preponderance of negative indicators lie. So we have a data scientist who's starting on Monday, and what we're doing is we're building something called a vulnerability index. So the reality is, number one, I will say we do have to be honest about what Prince George's County is and also look at where there are opportunities to improve. So that's exactly what we're doing. So the reality is Prince George's County is leading, one of the leading counties in the region for type 2 diabetes. Mm. But that also presents an opportunity to improve. So what is it that's leading to Prince George's County to have such a high incidence of type 2 diabetes? So what we're doing is looking at the things that Byron just talked about, liquor stores, fast food restaurants, lack of walking trails. And what we can do if we put together a vulnerability index by zip code is say that we know that people in the zip code are more likely to have type 2 diabetes, and you can put proactive strategies in place. But once again, that's an opportunity for business to commercialize something that can go to other areas of the county that has a high incidence of type 2 diabetes and sell that solution. So that's where I said we can be very honest about what exists in Prince George's County and solve those problems and turn them into commercial solutions.
Absolutely.
So I want to throw this out to you, Alexander, and just kind of get your reaction. Does the prospect of losing the Washington Commanders at FedEx Field cause you indigestion? that's one thing. Does the prospect of not getting the FBI in Prince George's County, does that cause you indigestion? Does the Well, let's just take those two for, mm-hmm. you know, for example. I mean, those are anybody in Maryland is very, very concerned. Politicians are concerned. Business leaders are concerned. And residents are mm-hmm. also concerned about what those things may mean. So how do you plan for the dark side of mm-hmm. these kinds of things if they happen?
So let me start with the FBI first. The FBI, I sleep a little bit better because I know that Prince George's County, all the data points to Prince George's County. It's undeniable. The data points to Prince George's County. Now, I am not in that decision room. Mm-hmm. From what I have observed of our governor, Governor Moore, I don't think he's gonna, you know, take a backseat to this. I mean, he's been very proactive, and that is really what you need. Our county executive has been spot on. So for me, it's less worry on that. And I say that confidently. Now, again, I'm not in those rooms and those right. conversations, but from my perspective, all the data points to Prince George's County. Now, as far as the Commanders, I grew up at the time the Redskins, now Commanders. So with that, you know, I think there are some things that may be in the past on both ends that were not necessarily addressed. But our county exec has gotten $400 million for that area where the Commanders sit, the Blue Line Corridor. That's first time in history. It's mm-hmm. never happened. So, you know, just by the actions of our executive leadership, I know that they are playing to win.
So. Yeah, but you know what happened on Capitol Hill yesterday. And, you know, the reality is, you know, there were two House hearings. House hearing yesterday, the day before. But yesterday, this vote moved to the full House. That's going to be happening within the next couple of weeks, maybe a month or so. You know, we can talk about the the collegial relationship between D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser and County Executive Angela Alsobrooks. All of that is fine until it comes down to the command. Until it comes down to the Washington Commanders. Yeah. You know, I mean, you know, we can talk about that. We are not, you know, Ward 9 in Prince George's County, as the county executive said. And it's all tongue-in-cheek. But this is serious business when it comes to the Commanders. And there are three jurisdictions in play. And so, if that happens, I mean, have you already at least started to put together some kind of plan if the Commanders go to D.C. in the next couple of years, because this is long ball, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. So I'll say this. The Blue Line Corridor, which is a major initiative for Prince George's County, is going to create opportunities whether the Commanders are there or not. I am very confident with even some of the conversations that I've had with their community development and building that relationship, that they see that value. And again, you know, when you talk about Mayor Bowser, County Executive Angela Alsobrooks, both very powerful, very collegial, as you said, and it's going to boil down to
it's going to be tight.
It's going to be a tight room. But at the end of the day, rest assured that when you say, okay, have we done everything that we promised from a county perspective? I think we've exceeded that.
So here's the other thing, you know, Bernard, and this is outside the realm of your business and more as a Prince George's, as a successful Prince George's County resident, mm-hmm. okay? One of the biggest complaints that we have heard over the years is high-end retail. And for those who have a lot of a lot of disposable income, they are not spending a lot of that disposable income in Prince George's County. If you want fine dining, they go to D.C. If you want $300 or $400 cologne, you're going to Tyson's. You're not doing that in Prince George's. I know because I go to Tyson's, okay? because that's the only place that I can find Brut by Fabergé. But, you know, so for those who are financially well-heeled, what do you think the plan should be for spending that money, keeping it in Prince George's?
So one of the things we're looking to do is to make sure, number one, is to move the median income up to a higher level. So one of the things we're working on is an initiative called Tech Prince George's. So we do have to acknowledge the fact that Charles County allegedly is the wealthiest minority county.
You said allegedly. Why do you say allegedly?
Well, I mean, it's...
Can I chime in on that one?
I mean, you know, go right ahead. Because so, I was going to bring it up.
All right. So that is based on, I think, W-2 wage income, which is obviously moving to Charles County because of affordability. But when we talk about density of minority-owned businesses,
okay,
I don't think Charles County can touch Prince George's County. So those are two different numbers.
I could see that.
So, you know, but I'm sorry to interrupt, but I had to jump in on that one.
No, you're good.
Now, that's what keeps me up at night, right?
It's just Charles County.
Hey, listen.
Oh, the allegedly.
The allegedly, right? But go ahead.
Yeah, and to that point, what we're looking to do is to make sure that by the year 2030, it's undisputed that Prince George's County is once again the wealthiest minority county in the country, by focusing on technology as the preferred industry. So one of the things we saw during the COVID-19 pandemic is the industries that Prince George's County tends to rely upon are the ones that are impacted first by technology and automation.
Such as?
Hospitality, all of the retail. Mm-hmm. We look at the touchless technologies. Those were the ones that were impacted first. We're looking at a government shutdown. We have a lot of people who work for the federal government in Prince George's County. So what I'd like to see is that we're building up technology as the preferred industry for Prince George's County. So as that happens, then you attract the retailers because they're seeing long term that Prince George's County is showing potential and moving in the right direction. So I'd like for us to be very deliberate about saying what it is we're looking to accomplish and put measures in place along the way to show that we are making progress towards our goal.
I want to chime in on that. Very good point. I think fintech is going to be the catalyst for that.
Fintech?
Uh-huh. So, you know, we heard this earlier today. We talk about a small business owner that may wear multiple hats, will have to, you know, work at their place of business, maybe come home, take care of the family, and then after everyone's gone to bed, get online and apply for access to capital. So those platforms and those means that make it easier for our small businesses to have access to that capital is going to be a key for us.
Financial technology. Okay, thank you.
Here's something else that I wanted to touch on. We talked about hiring restaurants. I also want to, you know, kind of highlight Mercedes, right? There are a number of African Americans in Prince George's County who drive Mercedes, and Mercedes doesn't have a dealership here.
Mm-hmm.
But when we think about Tyson's, we think about Bethesda, we think about some of these other areas, all the high-end restaurants are surrounded by a big corporation. They're not in residential neighborhoods. Big corporations follow the workforce. The workforce is produced by the school system. So the key is the school system.
Mm-hmm.
So from our advantage, we can look at those leading industries, take a wave welcome in the technology, and also some of the social impact that they have. And then you can consortialize that by, say, 100 of those companies that are in Prince George's County that has impact in our legislation, has impact in what we're teaching our kids, apprenticeships, internships. Then now we're saying, hey, we're going to, if Bethesda's doing biotech and then Northern Virginia is doing defense, mm-hmm. Prince George's County is cyber.
Okay.
Right? Now, how many companies have a need for cyber?
All of them.
I think the FBI.
Yeah.
Just putting that out there.
Big and small.
Yeah. Right? But then not only the FBI, all of those contractors that service the FBI that are in close proximity to NSA, which is 30 minutes up the road. I'm just going to throw out the facts of why they need to be in Prince George's County.
So, and I get that, but here is the thing that a lot of people aren't really talking about, but I'm going to. The FBI, even though there are a lot of people of color who work there, it is still a majority white governmental agency. Prince George's is a majority black county, you know. You can talk about the data, but do you think that the rank and file, the majority, are they going to want to move out there with all of those black folks? How do we address, you know, the elephant in the room?
The elephant is that's a good point.
That's a reality.
That's a good point. I think it is what it is. But I also am very confident that when and if they decide to move to Prince George's County, if you don't want to move in Prince George's County, shame on you. It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You can move to Howard, move to Montgomery. But there's plenty of well-established neighborhoods in Prince George's County.
Absolutely.
That do very, very well. So it's a hard case to say, I don't want to live in Prince George's County. I mean, obviously, okay, if you don't want to be around a more diverse black and brown culture, I understand. But let's just say that, right? I don't think that you'll ever hear that. But there really isn't much to say as to why Prince George's County isn't the place. Mm-hmm. It's just, I mean, again, I am not in those rooms.
Mm-hmm.
I am not the director of the FBI. However, if I had a need for cyber, and I have four institutions that produce talent in cyber, and I have one particular institution, University of Maryland, which has 60 quantum labs on it, and the NSA is 30 minutes up the road.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, what are you doing to provide other incentives to grow business here? Because no matter the outcome of the U.S. Senate race, there will be a new county executive, because Angela Alsop Brooks is term limited. If she wins, of course, she will go to the Senate. I'm not in those rooms. I don't know what she would do if she loses, and what part she may be playing. But as I said, there would be a new county executive. What kind of preparations would you make politically to address those political winds of change? And Bernard, I'll have you share some thoughts too, but please, you first, Alexander.
Yeah, so, I mean, you're right. Mm-hmm. This is a very interesting time, I think, for the county in terms of its transition. But it's very positive. There are a lot of opportunities that will come from whatever happens with the county exec seat and the Senate seat. I would say that the thing that we have to do from the chamber's perspective is identify those leading industries that will take us forward.
Mm-hmm.
We have got to assemble those businesses that are focused on that, and then bring our partners and create kind of a more advanced ecosystem. And we need to present that to whomever's in leadership.
Mm-hmm. Your thoughts about that?
So, I believe that business has the potential to really lead the conversation. And, you know, I'll piggyback on what Alex just shared. I think that leading into whoever is going to be county executive next, we need to say what our platform is. We need to say what our agenda is. It doesn't matter who the county executive is. So one of the things I know that has been on everyone's mind, we talked about it tonight, is the FBI. But the reality is we already have federal agencies in Prince George's County,
right?
Like
mm-hmm.
NASA Goddard, the Census Bureau, NOAA, and a bunch mm-hmm. of others as well. So one of the opportunities for businesses in Prince George's County is to make sure that the same rules and legislation that exist in Northern Virginia also exist in Prince George's County.
Absolutely.
And what I mean by that, in Northern Virginia, the reason you have so many companies out there is because it's mandated that they have to be within 30 minutes of the person they're doing business with.
Mm-hmm.
That same thing does not exist in Prince George's County. And with Angela Alsobrooks going to Senate potentially, that's an opportunity for her to be able to move that needle in the right direction. So the same laws are put in place for Prince George's County as well. So if you're doing business with NASA Goddard, you have to have a presence in Prince George's County. If you're doing business with the Census Bureau, same thing. And that's where tremendous opportunities come about. And that's where we as business leaders can say, if you want this check from us as a business owner, this is what we'd like from you in return. We'd like to make sure that you're pushing for businesses to grow and scale in Prince George's County.
You know, I asked, you know, Alexander about the commanders and the FBI in the context of what gives him indigestion. What gives you indigestion when you think about the future of business development in the county, and particularly as it relates to what you want to do in growth?
Well, what gives me heartburn, indigestion, is the workforce. So I mentioned earlier that we've developed AI. We're one of the few black-owned companies in the country that has done that.
Mm-hmm.
We have to have the workforce to support that. You know, one of the things that Alex just talked about is quantum computing as well. Having the workforce to support quantum computing. We don't want to have these opportunities in Prince George's County, but the workforce is coming from somewhere else. So we need to develop that workforce in Prince George's County. And as things become more complex, we are creating a bit of a divide if the talent that's coming out of the schools is not able to work for the companies that are growing and scaling in Prince George's County.
Absolutely.
So one of the things we are focused on is building an apprenticeship program that really brings people along, because these are incredibly complex technologies. I've been at it for almost 30 years, and some of this stuff...
It changes every day.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Rapidly.
So that's the scariest thing for me, just making sure we have the workforce to support it, because we're competing with everyone else. It is a global economy. There are companies that are able to hire, and you know, you can get a person up to a certain point and then someone else offers them 20,000 more. So you've got to have the pipeline to be able to replace the talent that moves.
But, and I think you make an excellent point as it relates to developing a workforce in Prince George's, whether you start from really middle school or even elementary school up through high school graduation, community college, any of the institutions of higher learning in the county, get that. But does it really matter if you can bring in talent from outside of the county if that talent buys a home in Prince George's, works in Prince George, comes to work for you or any similar business? Don't you also want that talent coming from outside?
Yes, it's a combination of both. So in order for you to be able to develop that talent, you really do have to have those senior level people. So absolutely, you have to attract in some people from the outside. But if we're talking about replacing, you know, potentially if the commanders decide to leave, we need to have an industry or something to replace them. Technology is a great way to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So in order for us to get to the point where we have enough jobs to replace what would be lost if the commanders do leave, we'd actually have to make sure that we are developing our workforce here. So people that are in hospitality, sports, and entertainment right now should be being retooled to pivot over to technology.
Yeah.
The digital assets are the key.
The preemptive strike. I've got about another minute, but what are your final thoughts about this, you know, Alexander, as you see the changing business landscape, the changing economic landscape? There was even talk today about building a metro that goes to National Harbor. How are they going to do that? I don't know. But I'm sure you've heard it. But even with discussions like that, whatever it is is coming to,
yes,
Prince George's.
So, you know, my thoughts are the opportunities now. And what I mean by that is the decisions that we make as a collective, we're going to have to live with in 10 to 15 to 20 years. So if we look ahead and we say, okay, how do we want to be identified? What do we want to produce? Who do we want to attract? It's going to be a conservative collective effort amongst all stakeholders to double down and identify, and this is just my hypothesis, 2 to 3 leading industries that we know will drive not only Prince George's County, but the regional economy, and ultimately the global economy, because that's where everyone's going. What you may do in one segment of the world will impact another segment of the world. We can look at COVID as the best example. When we had those shipping containers, that affected our supply chain.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, if we are in any digital technology field, you can be based here and be working anywhere in the world. And that's where I think we have a tremendous opportunity, because we are extremely diverse. We talk about you know, African Americans, but we also have a strong West African culture.
Mm-hmm.
We have a strong Hispanic and Latino culture, which was the fastest growing business in Prince George's County during COVID. We have an Asian culture. It's here.
Yeah. Gentlemen, I have to have that be the last word. Alexander Austin, Vernard Wright, thank you both for talking to us. Congratulations. Good luck. Don't forget the Excellence in Business Awards Gala. It is on October 6th. If you want information, you can find it on their website at pgcoc.org. And, of course, we'll be posting that link on our website, whur.com, before 9 o'clock tonight. That is the Daily Drum for this Thursday, September 21st. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.